We're now talking about Studs Terkel, who used to have a radio show here. I'm in the studio until 7 o'clock. It's a whole hour, almost an hour, with these two gentlemen. Tom Castle, who is a great musician, a great historian, and Barry Butler, who is a fabulous photographer, whom I have been intrigued by since tasting of his work online. And he's from Ireland. Yeah. Tom's not.
Chicago.
Welcome. Welcome.
There's a lot of Irish here.
Welcome. Yeah, half. Yeah, welcome, gentlemen. They're both here to talk about all sorts of things, about photography and water. And they're co-hosting the Chicago Maritime Museum Annual Festival, which takes place on October 26th at the museum, which is on the river of what used to be Bubbly Creek, right?
I'm not sure if it's still bubbling.
Better not be. Yeah.
Unless you throw some champagne in there.
I won't say. That might happen.
Yeah, Barry, what's your association with the Maritime Museum? How are you involved with it?
You know, that's a really good question. I'm from a fishing village in Ireland, right?
What village?
Fished.
What village?
I don't know. Wexford.
Wexford.
Yeah. I've never fished. I've never
How did
owned
you
a
manage
boat.
That?
Oh, wait, hold on. I don't know how to swim either. I think a lot of it, you know, because I'm looking out the window here, I think some of it has to do with the fact that I have the Navy Pier exhibit, which is based on the water system here. Flow, right. Water brings life to Chicago. And then I'm involved with the Chicago Lighthouse, restoring that.
Mm-hmm.
Got a new book, which has the Race to Mackinac on it. So I love the boats here.
Mm-hmm.
And then I drink Lake Michigan water, so I think that qualifies
straight
me.
Straight from the lake?
Straight from the lake.
Not
filtered. That's how much
go
I love it.
Wow, that's
Let me
dedication.
Ask you, since you're on for the whole hour, when did you first start taking pictures?
That was probably over 25 years ago. I broke my collarbone playing hockey. And couldn't do anything for 8 months, so I taught myself photography.
Is that right?
Yeah, and the rest is history. Maybe 14, 15 years ago, I used to never really shoot around Chicago. And from a standpoint of being serious.
Yeah.
But social media came around, and, you know, I just put my photos up there because I was going to Ireland. I was going to Yosemite, this weekend, I was in Oregon for the Ring of Fire. And I would shoot around Chicago just to kind of get myself warmed up for those trips, and then social media just kind of
exploded,
which
really
is just crazy.
Explode.
You know, yeah.
And you're a self-taught photographer, yes?
Yes.
That's fabulous. Thanks. And you two have just met when? Today?
Just in the lobby, yeah.
And
the Maritime Museum wisely said you guys should co-host this party.
Well, they try to bring in different hosts that do different, you know, aspects of Chicago.
Sure.
And Barry's photographs just, of course, blew everybody away. And I said, well, that would be really cool. And he's got this new book coming out. So let's have the book as part of the fundraiser.
Talk to me, Tom. You've been on the show many times. We've talked a lot. What hooked you on water? I know that's a broad question.
Well, that would be definitely. That's the schooner Charlotte Anne back in 1985.
Mm-hmm.
My old partner Chris and I wrote a song called Song for the Whales, and we put it out, and people started giving us a little bit of, negative feedback, because they said, you're from Chicago. What do you know, about
whales?
So we said, as a joke, we're going to do a Great Lakes Whale Watch. And it's going to be $35 a head for all you can eat, and
awesome.
$50 for all you can eat and all you can drink, and your chances of seeing whales goes up. And we were playing at an Irish pub in St. Paul, McCafferty's, and a group of sailors came up, and they said, hey, when you do that, we'll bring our boats down to Lake Michigan. We're on Lake Superior right now, but we'll do that. We'll join you. And we almost got the Shedd Aquarium to sign on to do it as well. But I was looking through the phone book, if you remember phone books.
Yes, I do.
And there was a pen and ink drawing about under charters of the schooner Charlotte Anne, who actually you can see a whole exhibit about at the museum now. She was a Chesapeake Bay oyster boat that was built in 1888.
Mm.
And so she wasn't a replica of anything.
What had you been doing before? What kind of music had you been playing before?
Irish pubs.
Wow.
All the Irish pubs in Chicago and the region. And then East Coast from like Boston down to Savannah. And then we played a little tiny bit in Ireland and Scotland too.
Interesting.
And it's, once
it,
in Norway.
It all makes sense, right? It's all coming together right now on your
Well,
show,
almost
right?
Everything makes sense to
there
me,
you
Harry.
Go. That's the Irish thing.
The,
is
the serendipity of it all, oh, I say. Serendipity. What did you do, aside from photography, what did you do in hockey? I mean, you weren't a professional hockey player.
No, gosh, you wouldn't want me. Though, you know, I think the Blackhawks could use me these days. No, you know, I've done so many different things. But, yeah, no, I mean, photography has been just one of the things that just kind of evolved, you know.
Wow.
So and we have such a pretty city, you know, so
no
it
question.
Just makes it so easy to
no
be
question
anywhere and everywhere around here. There's something to shoot.
Nevertheless, have you been surprised at the outpouring of success and affection that your work has generated?
Yes, because I sit there and I look at my images and I like, oh God, I could have done that better.
Like
I'm really critical of my work, and you know, I fall in love with a shot once, and then 5 days later, I'm like, oh gosh, yeah, you messed that up, you know. But yeah, no, I still this day, I'm just very blessed that people like what I do, and I think a lot of it's just the fact that people know I love the city, and it's kind of reflecting what I do, you know. So
where do you live?
I just live just west of downtown.
Okay.
And so it gives me quick access to just about anywhere, which is really kind of important to me.
Mm-hmm.
So if, you know, if something's happening, but I usually plan everything way in advance, but it's just nice to know that maybe I could pull something off within 15 minutes.
You try to shoot every day?
I
or do.
Or
do you shoot every day?
My intent is to shoot every day. The only time I really don't get thrilled about shooting is it's a nice
in
blue.
The middle of February.
No, oh no, that's the best. No, winter, that is the best time. I can't wait. I really hope that we have minus 50 degrees, 30 inches of snow. That's a great day. But blue skies, oh, it's the worst day ever.
Wow.
Yeah, I know people love, you know, clear blue skies.
Not
my
for
thing.
You. No. Not good for you. We'll take a short break and continue on with these guys, and we'll talk a lot about the Maritime Museum. It's a beautiful, I mean, I think it's one of the coolest museums.
Certainly
in Chicago, if not the world. I want you to remind listeners of how it came to be, and it still is right near what used to be called Bubbly Creek. We'll be back. I am now looking at the latest book from Barry Butler, who is sitting here with Don Castle. And eventually we'll get to talking about the Chicago Maritime Museum. But this book is so beautiful. You really are in love with this city.
I am, yeah. It's beautiful. How could you not be?
I agree. But turning in the same way that, Tom, you're in love with water and lakes and history, you turn that into art with your music.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about the museum. How was this museum born? You know the background of this thing.
Oh, well, let's see. We were just talking in the lobby. There was a Chicago Maritime Museum at North Pier.
Right, I remember.
For a couple years.
Yep.
For a couple years. And then there was always a big impetus to get on Navy Pier.
Navy Pier.
Navy Pier or bust. And that was an extremely hard thing to do politically and economically.
Sure.
For a while, when Meigs Field suddenly disappeared one night.
How did that happen?
Who did that?
A serious search into going into the old emergency vehicle building.
Sure.
Out there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that was a proposal that got tossed to the city and turned down. I don't know exactly how the Bridgeport Art Center was found, but basically it's the old Spiegel Catalog building.
It's a great building. It is a remarkable building.
And it is an art center like no other art center. Though when I travel, people say, oh, it's just like this in New York, or it's just like this in Detroit, or something like that.
And they're wrong.
And it is absolutely amazing. And the cool thing about it is it was designed to be an artist space. So there are literally dozens of little fabric designer studios, and there are enormous sculpture studios.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are studios and exhibit spaces that you can just rent out. So if you're the Chicago Maritime Museum, for example, and you have a 10,000 square foot exhibit coming in, you can rent the space and put it in there, and then when it's gone, you don't have to keep paying on that space.
Who runs the museum?
So the we just got a new director, and
But there's a board, obviously.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. And Jerry Thomas and the director. And I still haven't met her. We've only emailed together. And maybe somebody
will... That's the nature of these times. And some, you know, is still coming out of these button-down times.
Well, that was the thing. There was a flood at the museum, and then COVID hit not too long afterwards. So that was a very, very difficult time to have a small museum. In fact, what they're calling it is basically a boutique museum. And with a couple of the folks on the board and Jerry Thomas as well, we're talking about our goal now is to be the most interesting and popular boutique museum you can find.
Yeah.
As opposed to... We need to have this major...
We need 6 million people coming in here. Well, yeah. That would be nice, but
And it was... Yeah. The build-out, I believe, was... I forgot who it was now. Anyway, it's a beautiful build-out. And, of course, the Ralph Fries Canoe Collection is in there.
Right,
And lots of things from the Eastland... And there's just a lot of different stories there. There's a model shop. There's a brand new interactive a lobby that got put in thanks to Captain Dave Truitt and some other folks. And it was just an absolutely amazing... Madeline is her name. I'm just scrolling here. Is our new curator and director at the museum, who I will meet. Actually, we'll both meet on the 26th. So it'd be nice.
And Barry, they got in touch with you. I certainly understand why. You know, Tom is just one of the great advocates for all things, and I mean this for all things water, not just clean water, but knowledge about water and the history of water and the importance of water. How'd they get in touch with you? Did they say, "Hey, we like you. You're a great photographer. We want you to co-host this event"?
Well, they saw me standing on Navy Pier, and they said, "There's this guy who does these shanty songs. Do you like that stuff?" And I'm like, "Yeah." Do you want to host?
I left Ireland to get away from that. Yeah,
that's right.
Ireland.
You want to help host, raise some money for the museum, and then the rest was born. No, it had a lot to do with the fact that being a part of the Lighthouse group to restore that with the program that we're doing there. So, because there's some people that are connected to both, and
have you gone down? Have you seen the museum?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. What do you think? Yeah,
it's amazing. You know, what's funny about it, and I said this to Tom, prior to being there, I did not know it was there. And for someone who does enjoy everything involving the water here and the boats and everything, and seeing what they have there, you're just like, oh, my God, this is like one of the best kept secrets.
Yeah,
Chicago.
I agree.
So, really encourage people to go see it, let alone, participate in what we're doing next week. But it's, and the city, there's so much history that is evolving around our water system.
Well, there was just a WTDW in their Chicago Stories series just did recently, the story of the Chicago River, the reversal of the river, and it was fascinating. It's a complicated story to tell, and you can go, ladies and gentlemen, to WTTW's site and find that film, and it's remarkable. I keep bringing up Public Creek, because right where you will be having your event on the 26th, if you look out at the river, think to yourself, wow, this was so screwed up couple hundred years ago that people could walk across the river, not on boards, but on the carcasses of junk they threw out of the stockyard.
I remember the smell of the stockyards driving by there.
Do you?
With my parents when I was little, and it was like, oh, it's, you don't forget that smell ever.
Yeah, no kidding.
The museum, the name, it just, my aging brain, I was,
tell me about it.
Was the pretty legendary Chicago architect, Dirk Lowen.
Oh, sure.
Did the build out on that.
Yeah.
And that's part of the reason it looks so darn good. It's incredible.
You know, one of the things I remember, Barry, you may be intrigued by this, one of the most frightening revelations that I have learned in my life, and it came from you, Tom Castle. You told me that you went to public schools around the city to sing songs.
Libraries
yeah. And school, sometimes schools and around the city to sing songs of the lakes and the river, and that you would occasionally say, now how many of, especially the kids, you would say, now, how many of you kids have seen the river or the lake? And you were shocked, and in turn shocked me, that there were large numbers.
I would say in every neighborhood we went to, and we were literally everywhere, from almost Evanston down the Hedgewick, and you know, and in every audience there were somewhere between, you know, 5-10% of the audience to 80% of the audience who had never seen Lake Michigan or the Chicago River. And we were doing some programs with the Friends of the Chicago River.
Yeah.
I don't remember the name of the, it was near Gompers Park, I think. It was a school. And they literally would walk across the Chicago River to get to school, and none of them knew
what this was.
What it was.
Well, I you know, with the lighthouse, and, you know, people will put comments in my social channels, and they'll say something, so where is that lighthouse? I'm like, what? Just look east. It's on that water over there.
as you guys both know, I mean, it's hard to tell these kids. I just think it would be fun for them to know about this, but the only reason Chicago is here is because of that and that.
Indeed.
Correct?
Oh, indeed, yeah. Putting the river system together with the Great Lakes, and of course that leads to everything. It leads to anywhere in the world. You can go down to the base of this building, get in the Chicago River, and go anywhere in the world.
Yeah. Now, Barry, when you take photos, you couldn't have a greater backdrop for your photography than water, could you?
Oh, well, there's just so many things that it creates. You know, when we have storms, the waves crashing up against the lakeshore, and my favorite, when it freezes over.
You are really a winter guy.
Yeah, you know what? I don't like summer, so I'm glad it's over. But yeah, winter, and this time of year, of course, it's gorgeous, you know. But the river itself, or I'm looking at the lake right now, and, you know, at any time
of the
day,
it's interesting. Lake. I'm looking at your photograph of the lake.
There might be a couple of photos of there of the water in there.
More than a few. It is just
in the cribs.
This is your profession now.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That's what people know me for. You know. Yeah. Otherwise, I'm just, you know, some bope walking down the street.
Kid.
You know,
some guy from Ireland.
Yeah, who loves having a Guinness every once in a while.
Have you always lived in the city?
No. When we first came to the States, we did come and lived on the north side, and then we moved out to the burbs. My mom's still out there. Otherwise, I'm in the city. I'm definitely feel like I'm a city guy.
Well,
I drive like one.
we're gonna carry on with these two gentlemen. Now we'll get the next half hour of this program will be devoted to the Maritime Museum and what is going to happen at this event on the 26th. We'll be back. Welcome back. I am still here with these two charming, talented fellows, Tom Castle, talented in music.
Who's coming up next then?
Many other things. Nobody's coming up next. And Barry Butler, who many of you know through the internet, I suppose, BarryButlerPhotography.com. He taught himself to take pictures, and he does an incredible job. It's like, yes, Nolan Ryan taught himself to pitch and play baseball. They are the co-hosts. They've just met. They met today.
I don't hit anyone with my camera, though.
Yeah, that's right. unless it's necessary. He has his second book. Is just out. Can people order this book at your website?
Yeah.
It's just out.
The book is BarryButlerPhotography.com, I think.
It's called Chicago Morning, Noon, and Night. And I'm showing Tom the sailboats on the...
that's the start of the Mackerel race, right?
That's the start of the race of Mackinac,
And he also has a calendar, too. And he will be appearing in the Chicago Tribune within the next couple of months, that's for sure, because he loves winter and he hates summer. So that's my
way. What's wrong with him? Yeah, he's going to be a psychoanalysis of what's wrong with that guy.
No psychoanalysis for me. These two men are hosting on October 26th the Chicago Maritime Museum's annual festival. Takes place at 1200 West 35th Street in beautiful Bridgeport at the Bridgeport Art Center, which is one of the most astonishing buildings in this city, a multi-use focused on the arts. I officiated at a wedding in the building. I knew two young women who owned a used high-scale furniture store there. I've known a lot of people who have rented spaces there. It's a great, great place. What is the nature, gentlemen, of this? You two are charming enough. You just stand on stage and talk to each other.
That's it.
Yeah. What's the nature of the festival? What's going to go on the 26th?
It's a hybrid festival. So we started out doing it simply online because that was the only way we could do it during COVID.
Yeah, sure.
And then we made it a hybrid event where people can come. And if you want to be in person, it's a $100 donation.
Oh, that's nothing.
Which is, for a museum fundraiser, not at all.
Yeah.
Of course, you are encouraged to give much more after
sure,
that. And there will
sure.
be certain goals that we hope to fulfill.
I also think this is also it's a really good way to introduce oneself to the museum.
Oh, yeah.
With a lot of other people and a joyful party kind of atmosphere.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it's a nice space for that. And then again, it is right on the river, so you are looking out on the water from the museum. And get there early because then you can look at some more of the art space that's in that building as well. And then we're doing it's hybrid, so you can also join on Zoom. You are definitely encouraged to register for this Zoom early as you can. Just go to chicagomaritimemuseum.org. Most definitely. And one of the things I really have enjoyed in the last couple of years is working with Jim Forney and Octane Rich Media. And he has been going around documenting a lot of the maritime culture on the Great Lakes. So if you go, there's a whole bunch of different YouTube things that are being archived now. And that goes for youth sailing, boat building, sea shanties, of course. And one fellow who, to get around COVID, and he would jump in the lake every day for the entire year.
This guy is still doing it, right?
I believe so. Yeah,
he's still doing
it. Yeah, off at Montrose.
Yeah, Montrose.
Yeah, and just a whole plethora of people who there's a pride sailing race as well, which I didn't know about at all. There was all kinds of things, and Jim is documenting all of this in a way that's very approachable, and also it's real life. It's not just artifacts. It's stories
exactly.
behind. All
exactly.
of it. And he tells that story absolutely incredible.
And you will be performing.
Yeah, I'm going to hopefully have my friend Dahi Wolf, who's a Irish fiddler, there, and we're going to be doing a music set as well.
Let's listen to a little to intrigue you even more, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you first that Tom Castle has a website. It's Tom, KASTLE.com.
Thank you.
Barry Butler Photography.com and Chicago Maritime Museum.org. Here is Tom Castle.
So the chorus goes, "Who's on the way, boys? Who's on the way?" Give that a try.
Who's on the way, boys? Who's on the way?
And then I'll sing out another line, and then we'll all go, "Tell me where you going.
Tell me where you're going."
Yeah. Now the captain, the pilot house, ringing the bell.
Who's on the way, boys? Who's on the way?
And mates down between decks, giving boys hell.
Tell me where you go.
Now smokestack's black and her whistle's brown.
Who's on the way, boys? Who's on the way?
Wish to the Lord I'd stayed in town.
Tell me where you go.
Five rich folks lying there in their beds.
Who's on the way, boys? Who's on the way?
Oh, we'll push copper until we're dead.
Tell me where you go.
I wish I was in old Detroit.
Who's on the way, boys? Who's on the way?
Still working this copper boat day and night.
Tell me where.
In Baltimore.
Who's on the way, boys? Who's on the way?
And I won't be worried.
work in these docks no more. Tell me where you go. Now the captain's in the pilot house ringing the bell.
Who's on the way, boys? Who's on the way?
And mates down between decks giving boys hell.
Tell me where you go.
Tell me where you go.
One more time.
Tell me where you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a wonderfully lively song. This event, I would think, gentlemen, Barry Butler and Tom Castle, is a family-friendly.
Oh, yeah.
That it'd be great to take kids, yeah. I think. What time is the event? That is in the night of October 26th?
It is starts at 6. In fact, I'm going right to the website right now, so yeah, I don't mess this up.
I hate phones. I hate phones, but thank God for Tom's phone.
Yeah, Thursday, October 6th, it's 6 p.m. And there's sort of a thing, you have to really go to the website to get all of the information.
Yeah, sure. That's, again, it's ChicagoMaritimeMuseum.org. Will there be food and drink and all that jazz that they usually have at benefits like that?
Definitely food and drink and guest speakers. And some of the things we're raising money for is the Bill Pinkney exhibit.
And, oh, poor Bill. Just died.
Yeah. I know. Bill was one of those people I just thought would live forever.
Yeah. And tell people who he was.
Bill grew up in the projects of Chicago as a child, and he became everything. He was a makeup artist in Hollywood. He got into cosmetics, especially with Afro-based cosmetics.
Right.
He was one of the first African-American yachtsmen, I mean, in Chicago, period. And he was a solo sailor before anybody else. And then he always nurtured this dream about sailing around the world solo.
Yep.
And he wanted to do it for his grandkids and nephews and nieces and, you know, be an example. And he did. Yeah. And
he was married for a time to Ina, too.
Yes.
One of the great restaurateurs in the history of Chicago.
And they still got along splendidly afterwards.
Yes, absolutely. That was quite a pair.
And Bill became a motivational speaker. And we had him at the Chicago Maritime Festival when it was at the History Museum and at the Old Town School. And Bill would always do it gratis. And I remember calling him up. I said, as a motivational speaker, I said, we really can't afford you. And he said, that's okay. I'll just charge the next corporate gig $200 more.
Yeah, he was a great, great guy.
And it's such an inspiration. He was really one of the first people who did satellite, you know, tracking, where kids were tracking him in their classroom by satellite.
Wow.
Where's Captain Bill today? He's in Johannesburg, or he's, you know, off the tip of South America.
Barry, you ever heard of him?
No.
Yeah,
no.
You would have loved him.
You will.
You would have just loved him. And I know, yeah, you're right. They remained very close friends.
And
he was
in Puerto Rico. He lived in Puerto Rico many years after he sort of semi-retired.
Yeah.
But he was my co-host 2 years ago.
Mm.
And he had just come in from, I think it was Puerto Rico. And he's just, there are people you say this about, but indeed, you'll never see the likes of him again.
That is true. We will take a break, come back, and browbeat you people into going to the Chicago Maritime Museum's festival. Not online. Really go in person. It's, there are great restaurants in Bridgeport now. Bridgeport has really become, it's become the old town of my youth.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. We'll be back. We are talking, Barry Butler, Tom Castle, and I, about the river and remembering Bob Borgstrom, the power behind the Wendella Boat Empire, who died not long ago. He had another Rick Kogan obituary. The Chicago Maritime Museum is having its annual festival on October 26th. The address is 1200 West 35th Street in the heart of I'm not saying gentrifying, but increasingly busy Bridgeport.
Yeah. You
know, they're reopening the Remova restaurant. They're reopening probably the Remova Theater.
Oh.
When you get down there, take a look at that. Barry Butler is obviously going to catalog all of this in his astonishing photographic journey. You guys are really excited. I love the fact that you seem to have hit it off immediately because you're going to be co-hosts.
It's going to be fun.
What are you gonna do, Barry? Are you gonna sell books there too?
I'm just gonna look pretty, you know. Yeah. I got to bring the good looks to the whole thing.
That's why we always appear on radio.
Oh, you Irish!
We look awesome on radio.
You Irish! No, I
think I'll be bringing some books.
Oh yeah, definitely. So, that is a perk for coming.
Yeah,
definitely.
And I'll certainly sign some books. And
that's great.
Happy to do that.
Now, this is your second book.
That is my second book.
Do you have copies of your first book available?
I do. I had to do another run because people wanted to buy both books.
That's just great. It's great to discover, I'm not saying late in life, but later in life, a passion at which you can become successful.
Yeah, I would love to say there was a master plan with that, but there wasn't. You know, it just kind of developed, and the rest is history. And I think more than anything, it just amplifies that people love this city.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
And there's just so many things about it. I mean, first of all, there's the pretty part of the city, and you know, it's the lake, the river, mm-hmm. you know, walking down Michigan Avenue, and then there's all the history, which is just amazing, and the Maritime Museum is a big part of it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, for someone who prior to this year had never been in it, it's the best kept secret in Chicago.
No question.
You know, this is a must see place, and you know, I think Tom, you hit it on the head. You know, next week is a great time to come because not only will you get a chance to go through it, now you're going to get a little entertainment, little food, little drinks.
Yeah, you're really right. It is perfect, and it's great coming out of these COVID, what I call the COVID years, to be with other people, for God's sake, you know, to...
Amazing how that works. We go out and talk and enjoy things together.
I think that's what happens. What makes life, and you must... Barry, encounter all sorts of people because, as I've known from being with newspaper photographers, you're carrying a camera. People talk to you.
Well, what they first do, they see my dogs because my dogs are always with me.
What kind of dogs?
I have a Labradoodle. He is now 4.5 years old.
Uh-huh.
And his name is Tusker. He's named after a lighthouse in Ireland. It's the Tusker Rock, which is just right off County Wexford there. And then Chopper, he's coming up on 2 years now.
Wow.
And both of them are 80 pounds. They're big dogs.
Whoa.
And they're friendly dogs, but they're also protective.
Do you have them on leash?
The Chicago police are listening. Yes. I have them on leash all the time.
Yes, on leash all the time.
So usually people spot those, and then they put it all together. Like there's a guy with a tripod and a camera, and then they're like, hey, that might be Barry there.
Wow. You say you almost go out almost every day. How long do you stay out when you go out? I mean, my day starts
an hour and a half before sunrise. So, I get to the spots that I had planned and then just hope everything that I envisioned happens. And the dogs just sit there and sometimes they sleep or keep an eye on who's coming around.
That's the time I go to bed. So we're here.
Yeah, you guys are the perfect co-hosts.
We're doing the handoff.
You guys are the perfect co-hosts of this thing. And then dogs don't chase squirrels or anything?
No, they're actually pretty good.
That's good.
Yeah,
so, do they swim?
No. It's just like me.
Wow.
Yeah, they go to Montrose Beach, and all they do is they go right up into the edge, and they put their paws in, and then that's enough. And then, you know, obviously there, if you ever go there, the dogs are all flying into the water.
My guys have nothing to do with it.
So maybe they're following my lead.
Are they as fond of winter as you are?
They are. They also don't like summer at all. They love, you know, rolling in the snow and all that stuff, and I might join them.
Perfect.
I just think you guys really are the perfect co-hosts for this event. And I'm, don't you, you must feel a sort of instant
reward. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, they paired us nicely together.
Huh? Yeah.
They paired us nicely together.
And it's just been absolutely great. Bill Pinckney 1 year, Patrick McBriarty last year.
Oh, sure. I know.
We had that. And it's just.
And then now the standards got lowered.
Well, we were in a pinch.
I'm afraid you're going to have to die to get out of next year's one. So
yeah, that's it.
Let's not even plan that. There will be, you know, I suppose at this thing, there will also be docents around, or people, not formal docents, but people who, who, if you're new to the museum, because I think the cool thing about it is some of these things need simple explanation, but you get the deep history about everything.
Oh, most definitely. And it's very interactive. There are little bits of actually, when you walk in, there'll be video monitors of different Chicago historical people. Oh, wow. And in fact, one guy, LaSalle, looks remarkably like me. I was amazed to see that.
Aren't you getting like all the docents together? They're going to be like your choir, and they're going to be behind you. And
we could do that. Yeah. Actually, it's a fluid design program. Also, there'll be kind of breakout rooms and games, and they have all kinds of things that are planned.
I just think it's a perfect way to celebrate the place where we all live, and in the case of the three of us, all love.
Oh, yeah.
And also to introduce yourselves to this incredible cultural gem that you're right, very few people even know about it.
So Thursday night, there's nothing going on.
Yeah.
Bears are having trouble, so let's have a little fun and come out next Thursday.
Oh, definitely.
Barry, it's a pleasure to meet you. Tom, it's
likewise.
Always great to see you.
You too, Rick.
Again, Tom Castle is at TomKASTLE.com. Barry is at BarryButlerPhotography.com. You can buy both of his books there. And the Maritime Museum is ChicagoMaritimeMuseum.org. The event is October 26th. The museum is there all the time. So don't be lazy.